for some running range.
I almost sit there and forgot it.
All right, 585.
Have you with us in Helen Baptist Church this morning. I'm still wondering where the sun went. It came out, kind of teased us a few weeks ago, and then it went back home. We know that that's only going to last a little bit, and summer will be here. This evening, tonight, we just recently, as a church, picked up Josh Sullivan and his family. They were with us about 2 years ago. He lives in Maryville, I met him, I was out preaching a mission conference, and our church just recently picked him up for support. Him and his wife are going to be here this evening. And the last time we had him here, just a week or two later, he went to South Africa. Well, he's doing the same thing now. So this is, I think, probably one of his last meetings, and then him and his wife are going back to South Africa. And now we get to look at it through different eyes because he's a missionary that we support. So hope you come out tonight and just let them know that you're praying for him and just hear about what God's doing there. I know that recently he was able to get a house in South Africa. God opened the doors for that. So looking forward to seeing how God puts that together and just being a part of his ministry there. And then, hey, Brother Mike, that piece of paper next to you, what's the date on that?
May the 14th.
Okay, so May the 14th. Here at a church, we're calling it Connected in Christ. Brother Randy Burge is going to help us with that. But we just wanted to do something for the area in which we live. And this this dinner is going to be for anybody that has gone through a recovery process, is going through a recovery process, or if you have family members that have gone through that, just an opportunity to get together. We're going to have a meal that night. We're going to have some preaching and some singing, and just see where God will take this, and maybe it's something that we can even do, as a church. Maybe we could do it every Friday night or do it just once a month. But next Sunday, I'll have some of those printed out, and if you know somebody that maybe could benefit from that, the thing of it is that sooner or later, you're going to know somebody in your life where addiction has touched them, right? I mean, there's stories throughout this whole entire room of people that we know, people that we care about, that have got stories of an addiction in their life, right? You know, it does no good by pretending it doesn't exist. And you know what? And they can't get help, and families can't get help if we just, you know, hide it off in a corner. And I believe, you know, I was preaching up in New York last week. We talk about that verse where it says that that death is swallowed up by life. Do you know there's not a problem out there that God can't swallow up?
Amen.
Not a problem. And the day that you quit believing in that, we're in trouble.
Amen.
You know, I mean, now it takes a willing heart, okay? But you put that and God in the same room, and there's not a situation that God can't overcome. You know, and two, we certainly don't want to let people know that are struggling that they have to do it by themselves, right? So that's what this dinner is going to be about. I'm going to need some help pull it off next week. I'll have a list down here if you want to help with that. We'll need help with cooking. If you'd like to come out and sing that night, we'd love to have you. Also, just help serve and get to know the people that come, and then we'll see where God allows us to take this, and that'll be on the 14th. I think that's all the prayer requests I have, Brother Ronnie.
I don't have any birthdays. Nobody, Facebook didn't tell me anything. So anybody had a birthday, we'll sing the birthday song. Okay, all right. If everybody would please grab a hymn book and turn to page 341 and stand, and our brother deacons come forward to receive the morning offering. Yes, blessing offering, please.
Solid rock of sand. Free. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Appreciate that good singing. I also appreciate Brother Kermit. I can hear him all the way where I'm sitting. I enjoyed him singing today. I almost called you up to do a special. Don't quit doing that. I mean, I thought, who is that? I knew it was an OB. I knew it was coming from his area, but I knew it wasn't him. You know, and I appreciate that. And I'm just, you know, you think about that song. That song only means something to you if you have a relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that song doesn't mean anything to you. You can get hope out of it if you actually have a real relationship with Christ. If Jesus is your best friend, if he is, we say he's my all in all, he's everything. If that is really true, then you have something special, and of course you have something to sing about. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go to Psalms chapter 141. Psalms chapter 141. Going to look this morning at a couple of chapters here. Psalms chapter 141. Psalms 141. Good to hear all the pages turning this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, thank you for a place that we can come, Lord, to get away from the world. Lord, it's just like they did in the Old Testament. And Lord, the early church gathered around your word. And Lord, set a day aside for that. Lord, help us to never get so busy, Lord, where we can't take time to stop and spend time with you. Lord, help us to recognize and understand that we need to hear from you. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your love. We need your forgiveness in our lives. Lord, we cannot operate 1 week, 1 day without that. Lord, I pray as we come before you that our hearts would be clear. Lord, there's no doubt we've let you down this week, and there's been sin in our lives. I pray you'd help us as we confess those and get them before you, that you're able to work. Lord, help us. I pray you'd cut through all the busyness of our life, and that we'd just be still and be able to hear you this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you look at Psalms chapter 141, the Bible says this: Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the works of iniquity. Let the wicked fail in their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. You know, and we're going to look a little bit at the next two chapters, but I want to look at this one first. If you'll notice, if you look at your Bible, Psalms 141, verse 1, Lord, I cried unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice. Verse 1 of the next chapter, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Look at the next chapter. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And if you look at these three chapters, they all have one thing in common, and that is the idea that David is showing us the importance of prayer in his life. And we're going to look at that for a moment this week. You know, I thought Jamie's got the Holy Spirit back there, both hands in the air. I thought, man, he's getting excited. I just started. Thank you for that reminder. So I started off in the morning. I told Maggie, where's my wallet? And, of course, her answer is, you know, why is that my responsibility? You know, so I went the whole day. I went back to where I was cutting some wood at a guy's house, had a fallen tree, and I walked all over that property three or four times. I looked in my truck. I took a flat five, six times. I did this 100 times. I went through every jacket, you know. And then I thought, I need my wallet. And you know what dawned on me? God knows where my wallet is. I don't know where my wallet is. God knows where my wallet is. And I just went to him. I said, look, I know this is stupid and it's simple. I said, but it's going to really cause me some problems. And I honestly went to him with this in mind. God, I know you can help me. Would you just, if you can see clear to do that day, I'd be thankful. And then I started in my mind thinking, how many credit cards am I going to have to cancel? I'm going to see Ursula and tell, hey, both these cards, you're going to have to give me new ones. You know, I mean, I thought, man, the backtracking, and I was just in my mind praying all day long. Well, I was on the phone last night with a pastor friend, and Maggie says, would you believe this? I walk in there, and there's my wallet. And it was right at the point where I was going to make the decision to call the credit cards and start that process. You know, it's really depressing. When you do that, then you find your wallet. I mean, that is no fun when you do that. It takes the fun right out of it. In that process, when she handed me my wallet, you know what I thought? I thought, how many times do I go through life and not utilize one of the greatest things that I have? And that is the ability to talk to God one-on-one anytime I need to. You know, and when you listen to David's heart here, listen to what he's saying. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Have you ever been in a spot in your... Listen, I understand life because I live it just like you. I have 5 kids. I've been married for almost 30 years. I live in the same world that you live in. I mean, drama can come out of absolutely nowhere and flip your life upside down in a second. What is supposed to be normal turns abnormal really fast, and all of a sudden you realize you're in a deep end where you can't swim. And at that moment, you know that. Now, for somebody who's not saved, this is just a fairy tale, because until you pray, God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner unless it's the sinner's prayer. But once you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can go to Him anytime. And like, have you ever made a phone call to get a job and you call somebody and say, can you put a good word? You know, our life is often lived by who we know. You make phone calls and you say, hey, do you know somebody that can do this? Or do you know somebody at that place? Or can you make this? And we do that all day long. We have strings pulled in the background for us all the time. But do you understand that in God, when you become His child, there is no greater string puller than God Himself? I mean, He can do whatever He wants to, and He loves you. Do you know that God wants to hear from you? Wouldn't it be a shame that the only time you actually talk to Him is the day you got saved and the day you died? What about everything? Because on those 2 days, you know, they say there's no atheist in a foxhole. On a day people are confronted with death, even lost people start talking about God, amen? So you know that on that day you're going to think about praying to Him. But what about in the day you got saved? You know you prayed to Him then. But what about in between? And just look about how He went about this when He was talking about prayer here. Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me. Do we even have any right to say, God, can you hurry up? But the reason why we have right to do that is because He's our Father and He knows that we're in need. His goal is not to just leave you out there and to make you suffer. When David said that, he said, listen, when I pray, make haste. Goes on to say this, let my prayer be set before thee as an incense and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Here's what David said about his prayer. He said, let my prayer be as a sweet incense. When they were doing sacrifices in the Old Testament, that would go up to God, and that smoke would go up, that obedience to what He asked you to do would go up to God, and it would please Him. And he said, David said, I want my prayer to be a sweet incense. That means that when God hears you pray, it makes Him happy because He loves you. Do you know He didn't just save you just to get you out of hell? Although that's a benefit. He did that because He wants a relationship with you. He craves and He desires to be a part of your life, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and on Tuesday. He wants to enjoy your grandkids as much as you enjoy your grandkids. He wants to enjoy your family just as much as you enjoy your family. He wants to be a part of your graduation. He wants to be a part of your birthdays. He wants to be a part when you buy a house, when you get a new car. He wants to be a part of when you get a new job or when something good happens to you. He wants to be a part of your life when you're sad and when you're happy. When you're down, He wants to be there to help lift you up. He doesn't want to just be put on a shelf and when you need Him, grab Him. He wants to walk with you every day. There's a reason why. In the cool of the day, every day He left heaven, He'd come down and He'd settle on this earth, and He'd take a walk with 2 people. And He'd walk up and down that garden because He wanted to be with them. And how much of your day should be devoted to somebody like that? A 5-minute prayer before you get up in the morning, or when you stop and you pray,
you know, I don't know, it's almost been, you know, drilled in our head to pray before every meal. But if all it is a bunch of words you're going to say because so you don't choke, you might as well not even do it because it doesn't mean anything. You know what God said here? He said this. He said, I want my prayer to be a sweet incense. I want it to be something that you enjoy, something that I mean, have you ever seen your caller ID and it's somebody and you don't answer it? Because you don't have that kind of time and you're not that interested. Now, if we all knew, if I knew how many times my phone just got ghosted or vice versa, we'd all be upset at everybody in this room, right? Do you know that God doesn't do that? God doesn't look down and say, hey, there's Dave. You know what? God looks down and says, hey, Dave's calling. I got to get this. Why? Because for whatever reason, he loves me. He is my Father. And the day that I got saved was the most precious prayer I ever prayed. I mean, think about what you told God when you got saved. You said, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that, and I'm going to hell, and I don't want to do that. But the Bible says you loved me, and you died for me. Jesus, would you save me? Think about the prayer you prayed. Now, did he hear that one? Well, if he didn't, then you're not saved. Okay? Did he hear that one? Do you know the Bible says that there's joy in heaven when one person gets saved? So on that day, on that prayer, God stops. I don't, maybe he just makes an, I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's a sign up in heaven that says, okay, everybody stop right now. Number 1,998 just got saved. His name's Dave Barnhouse. Everybody on a count of three, clap hands, do whatever you're gonna. I don't know how that plays out. I just know the Bible says every time somebody gets saved, that prayer gets noticed. There's an angel that opens a book and puts your name down. Okay? And there's a record that happened on that day, on that prayer. Hey, he meant it. God heard it. It's done. Signed, sealed, delivered for all of eternity. But what about the next day? You're a new child in his family. Of course he's going to want to hear from you. Of course he's going to want to listen to you, lift his name up. Talk about your day with him. Just let him know your heartaches. And David says this. He said, let my prayers be before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. When David prayed, he said he'd lift his hands up. He said, let it be like the evening sacrifice. When they would come, bring that. May I tell you something? When you pray, you know, the reason why you need to have a good prayer life is because when you pray, the Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, he cannot hear you. So if you want to hear God to hear you, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to bring him a sacrifice that he can accept. And you're going to... Do you know every time you come before God, you want to make sure that you've not offended him? You want to make sure. Listen, as parents, have your kids ever offended you? As parents, have your kids ever done something to you that causes you to be a little bit quiet? As parents, have your kids ever done something to you and you said, you know, hey, you're going to have to come think about that. We're going to have to talk. You ever said that to your kids? Hey, we're going to have to talk. Do you know it's no different to God because he loves you? And when we come to God, there's sometimes when we gotta, if it's gonna be a sacrifice to him, we gotta come to him and say, hey, Father, I let you down today. You know, I did this, because watch what follows after he said about that his prayer was like a sacrifice before the Lord. He said this: set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Hey, we can all use that prayer, amen. I mean, think about the multiple problems that would solve if we just prayed something like that, starting your day saying, God, help me watch my lips. You know what he's recognizing? He can't watch them by himself. He's admitting that he can't control this, but he knows that there's a God in heaven, a spirit that lives inside of him that can help him with that. So he says, God, set a watch about my lips. What a great prayer. I mean, think about the problems that would unwind. If that prayer would be prayed and answered. I mean, you think about the multiple things that would save us from. And that's this is why it is such an unutilized. Now, honestly, how often do we really pray? I mean, 5 minutes a day? Do you know the great revivals that our country used to see? There would be the old-timers would go into a back room, and they wouldn't be a part of the service. They would literally get on their face the whole entire time of the revival, and all they do would pray. Now, would you think, hey, they just want to cut out a service, and, you know, they're over there sleeping? Why would you do something like that? Why would you get off to the side while somebody's preaching? Why would you get off to the side and do nothing but pray for an hour or however long he preaches? Because you're convinced with all your heart that it matters. And what we've got to get back to our thinking in our life is that prayer matters. That not only it keeps us where we need to be, but then it makes God a part of our problem. There isn't anything too big or too out. I mean, if he can find my wallet, certainly he can help with a job. Do you know that whatever is in your heart or on your, you can take the biggest burden you have that you think there's no possibility that anything can be done about it, and you can give it to God, and you can let him handle it, and you can ask him, and you can go back. And you know what? Even if it's a while before he answers it, you can take comfort that he cares and that he knows about it. And he didn't turn a deaf ear. And in his timing, he'll do, you know. Now, if it's praying for somebody that's getting saved, he's not going to make him get saved. But you know what I pray? God, don't leave him alone. I mean, you wake him up in the middle of the night. Do you believe that you can pray for a lost person and say, God, get him out of bed? God, wake him up right now. Help him think about every story that they've ever heard in the Bible. You know, bring to mind the things they were taught when they were a kid. Don't let them be comfortable where they're at. You know, if we go through our life day in and day out and we can get by on 5 minutes of prayer, then we are either missing out on great opportunities of God being involved, or he is not who he says he is. Because Abraham prayed. He went to God over Lot and he said, God, please don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there's somebody there that I care about. God, would you spare that city for 50 people? You know what? All the way down to 10. You know what God said? Okay, Abraham. No problem. I won't do it for... Do you know why those angels went to that city? It's because Abraham prayed. That's why they went to that city. It's not because of the people in that city as much as it was for the fact that one man went to God and said, hey, my nephew lives there. Can you please spare that city? Can you please? And he went to God. He said, I know. Spare it for 50. 50 people, just don't destroy the city for 50 people. And then he's thinking, man, I've been to that city. There ain't going to be 50 people there. So he goes back again, gets it down. You know what he's doing? He's respecting who God is. He doesn't want to just take him for granted. But God also knew the heart of a man who loved his family, and God listened to that. And God paid attention to that. When you look at the people in the Bible who prayed, I mean, they went to God because they honestly believed that God, I mean, it was just so as simple as, like, Lot lives over there. I don't want him to die in that city. And God listened to that. Do you know that God can help your thoughts? If your thoughts are running 100, you know, people say, I can't sleep at night. You know, unfortunately, anxiety is on the rise because our world's turning upside down. But God's not upside down, okay? Around you might be upside down. God's not upside down. Ask him to give you rest in your mind. Ask him to slow it down. Do you know, before I got saved, I did things that you shouldn't do. You know what's unfortunately about that? It's embedded in my memory. I can't get rid of it. It's there until the day I die. I got to cart that through life. You know what I pray for? I go to bed tonight. Lord, please. Watch my dreams. Yeah, how are you supposed to be responsible for something when you're sleeping? Right? You ever notice? You ever had a dream that you wish you didn't have? Or inside that dream, you did something that you wish you could have forgot you did. You know, and all of a sudden, there it is, played out in 3D in your mind again. You're like, ah! you know, I need that to go away. Do you know what you can do before you go to sleep? Say, God, I can't do this. Can you set an angel outside of my dreams? Can you protect my mind? I just need to sleep tonight. This is too heavy for me to carry. Can you take that? Do you know what you're going to say? Ah, too bad for you. You should have done better and not messed your life up. No, he's not going to do that. I mean, there's so many things. When you watch this prayer as he prays this, he says this. He says, incline not my heart to any evil thing. He's saying, God, help my heart that it's not bent towards evil. He's being proactive. He hadn't even messed up yet. He's just saying, help me. I mean, listen, young people, you're going to school during a time and a day and age which we didn't have to deal with. There wasn't gender classes when I went to school, not like you have today. I mean, a young person navigating this world today had better. It's not just for old people. It's not just for people that are getting saved. It's for young people. Every day, go in school and say, God, help me swim this cesspool. Help me keep my eyes on you. Help my heart not be bent towards evil. Pray before you do it. Ask him to intervene. Tell him, God, give me a good friend at school. I'm sure that there's somebody else in school that's saved and born again that has a good testimony. Ask God to put that person in your life at that moment so you can have just one person to hang out. Ask him for it. You know, say, hey, you know, pray about who you're going to date. Pray about who you're going to marry. Pray about where you're going to live, what kind of job you're going to have. Just involve him in all of that in our life because he wants to be involved in it. And if you're, when you're married, man, a lot of marriages go like this because we don't put the prayer into it that we need to put into it. If both people involved in a marriage would take that to the throne of God and say, God, if this one over here is praying, Lord, watch my lips. And this one over here is praying, Lord, watch my lips. You know what will happen if he answers that prayer? It'll be a happy home, right? But if you don't ever sit down and do that, or if there's not prayer in the home, there used to be, ever heard this, prayer altar? It used to be preached at every home should have an altar of prayer in their house. And I know people that actually built an altar, an old-fashioned mourner's bench in their house. And they would take their family. Oh, we have gotten so far from that. When's the last time a whole family prayed together? Where you sat down as a family and you took 15 minutes and you made that important as the people that live in your house. You say, I am recognizing that I need this. I'm recognizing, I mean, how many trips to the ER and all, you know, all of those things that you don't know is going to happen. What if you just hit the prayer altar before you got out and started your day and you got your whole family there and you just took 15, 20 minutes and you're acknowledging we need you in our life. We have the ability to mess up. We have the ability to make wrong decisions. God help us. God provide for us. God use us. You know, and that's what he's saying here. He goes on and he says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. He recognizes he's not one of those men, but he also recognizes he can act like them. Because he says here, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with the men that work iniquity. He's saying, I'm not like them, I'm not lost, but it's capable for me to act like them. I don't want to act like them. God, help me not to act like them. Help me to watch what I say, where I go, what I do, what I think about. Do you know if God is occupying the downtime in your mind, if God is the person, if you make it a habit, the moment you're not doing anything, you automatically, consciously open up the communication with God. Do you understand how that will help us in our life? Loneliness gets in, then the devil can take advantage of it. Hurt gets in, the devil, if you just take that loneliness and you give it to God and you say, God, I feel like I'm by myself today. Can you help me? What's he going to tell you? No. You're on your own. What would you do? What would any dad do here if you got a phone call? Greg, if Macy said, "Dad, she's crying. I can't tell you. I just need you in Knoxville." Would you go to Knoxville today? Would you even hesitate for that? And you would drive as fast as you could, and you'd try to call her 100 times. If she didn't answer your phone, you'd drive even faster. Why? Because it's just the thought of her needing you would motivate you to get there. Well, why do you think God would be any different if you called out to him today? Why would he then treat that any different than when you would treat it if it was somebody that you knew that needed you? I mean, you would do anything. You would open it. God, dads, I know this because I'm a dad. Okay, you would open your wallet and dump everything you had out if you thought it could fix it in a second. I mean, I know dads that mortgaged houses. I know dads that quit jobs. In fact, there was a guy one time, his daughter was going the wrong direction. And she was in a very bad influence. And he went to the preacher and said, "What do I do?" And he said, "You need to get your daughter out of here." And he said, "Yeah, but I work here. This is my job." And you know what he told that dad? He said, "How much do you love your daughter?" Guy went home, quit his job, moved his family out of there, got her out of that bad spot, and she ended up being okay. May I tell you something? If a dad down here would do that, how much more would your Heavenly Father do that for you? The problem is we don't use this. It's like the sweet minute of prayer, not the sweet hour of prayer. It's not a disciplined action. It's almost a drudgery that we even have to do it. It's almost like it's a pain. Why can't we? Why do we find it difficult that I can talk? I mean, I've been talking for 40 minutes. I know you're probably like, "I wish you'd be quiet." But you know, well, why is it we can do this? But you get alone with God and just your thoughts, and 5 minutes seems like it's an eternity. That's a problem with us, not him. You know, Jesus would get away. You know what he tell him? Remember the night that the disciples were out in the storm? I was reading this morning. And he told him, he said, "You go ahead and get in the boat and cross over." He said, "I'm going to go up there to pray." I wonder if they ever thought, "Now, how's he going to come to me? The boat's leaving. You know, how's he going to get there?" And Jesus was like, can you imagine him saying, "Hey, I'll walk"? Well, wouldn't it have been great to know that later on, right? Because they thought it was a ghost. He goes alone and prays. Do you know how special that is? He's in an earthly body. His Father's in heaven. He's got to communicate the same way I communicate with my Heavenly Father. He got away because he couldn't do it with all the noise and all the confusion. He sent them away, and he says, "I'm going to go spend the rest of the evening with my dad." And I don't know if he talked about it and said, "Hey, Peter, he's a handful." You know? And, man, you know, John, I really enjoy spending time with John. I don't know what he prayed about, but he talked to his Heavenly Father until it was late in the evening and the ship had already gone. In the garden right before Jesus, you know, wouldn't it be sad if the only time that we knew Jesus prayed in the whole entire Bible since he was born was the day that he was going to go to the cross? But the reason why that prayer was so sweet, because he prayed the whole time. Over and over again, he said, "I got to get away. I got to find some place, and I got to pray." He'd leave everybody else and he'd go off by himself. Because why did he do that? Because he recognized how important that it was that he communicated with his Heavenly Father. It wouldn't matter what's going on. He would stop and then he would go pray that night in that garden. And Jesus down there, and he's on his knees and he's praying. He wasn't in a garden. He was talking to his Heavenly Father. And he was pouring his heart out. Do you know that you can pray, and then you might not always be able to change the circumstances, and God might not always change the circumstance because he's doing something like he was with Jesus on the cross, but what you can guarantee is this: there isn't a time. Do you think Jesus was helped by praying? Because what did he pray? He prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." He said, now, did Jesus went to the cross. So we knew God didn't take his cup from him because he went to the cross. Now, but I know this, that as he walked to that cross, I could hear God saying to him, saying, "Son, listen, I'll be with you." And maybe he said this, "There'll be a point where I got to look away, but I'll be right back. I'm not going to leave you there." You don't think Jesus got comfort talking to his Heavenly Father, even though the circumstance couldn't change. The circumstance didn't change. He still went to the cross. But he got comfort talking to his Heavenly Father, and he endured the hardest road anybody's ever endured. And the last thing he did was he prayed. You know, the thing of it is that the first prayer out of our mouth ought to be this: God, I'm sorry. I'm unclean. I fail you every day. And man, once you get that out of the way, and you know that you've taken care of the sin in your life before God, and you know the door that you just opened up. And most of us will hardly touch it this week. We're entering a time in our country where it might not always be America's the biggest and baddest. The more that that erodes, the less likely you're going to be able to fix your own problems your own way. And I believe in the coming days, prayer is going to be a lot more important than it is right now, because you can fix a lot of it with a Visa card and, you know, talking to your neighbor. But there'll be a day when that's all you got is God. And it'd be a shame to have to learn how to pray during that time. I wonder if we just revisited that prayer altar. If everybody in this room would make it a point this week to genuinely spend time with the Lord. And if you're here and you're not, if you're not praying every single day and asking God, you know, maybe you're perfect. I haven't figured out how to do that. I pray all the day, God, please help me. Help me. I don't want to make mistakes. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. But may I ask you this right before I close? If you're here and you're not saved, and that just, look, there's a lot of people here this morning. To think that everybody in this room saved is probably not true. The only prayer God's waiting to hear from you is this. It's a prayer asking him to save you. So, when my kids are out playing, you know, and, you know, they'll get hollering really loud, I don't like to hear blood-curdling scream. In fact, Jonathan, when he was little, he was in the back seat of the car, and we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden I hear, ah! I honestly thought the door opened up and I'm dragging the kid down the road, okay? So what do? I don't even look. I just clear 4 lanes of traffic, no turn signal, no looking, no nothing. I just know I'm dragging my kid down the road, and I got to get to the side road. I pull over. I mean, I got an adrenaline dump. I need rehab after so much adrenaline. I'm thinking, man, my hand's shaking, and I'm thinking, what happened? And I'm expecting him to be hanging out in the car. I look back there, and he says, Daddy, bug. And I'm thinking, you're going to meet Jesus today. I mean, I was so upset. I said, don't you ever do that to me. Again, we've all been there, right? When you think, but may I tell you something? When God hears one of his children say, I'm lost and I need you, will you save me? Listen, he's going to clear 4 lanes of traffic in a second. And he'll be right there answering your prayer. And look, I can't make anybody pray that. I can just tell you, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to face eternity in hell forever and ever and ever, and you don't have to. It wasn't made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels, but people go there because of their choice. But you don't have to. You call unto God, and he'll answer you. He's already knocking on that door. You just open it up. And that'd be the sweetest prayer he could ever hear. Many of you have prayed that. How many of you prayed the sinner's prayer in this room? Would you raise your hand? If you got saved in this room, would you raise your hand? Keep it up for a second. Let everybody look. Isn't that awesome? I wonder if the walls still remember it. You know what they say? They say that matter has the ability to suck up sound and hold it for eternity. That they said that one day there may even be technology where they can go to matter and extract sound out of it. That'd be a little scary. You know? All right. But can you imagine that these walls actually held your prayer the day that you got saved? You know, the sweetest thing that God could hear out of this room today is somebody that's not saved cry out to God. But then the next thing, everybody in this room, the first prayer out of their mouth ought to be today is, God, forgive me. Man, I'm sorry for letting you down this week. And then you know what my challenge is to you? You take your biggest burden and you pray about that. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's weighing heavy, take it to God in prayer today. And believing that He cares and that He can help. Because we create our own problems by not you. You can talk to God in heaven. He who loves Mike, the same as He loves Sean, the same as He loves me. And I can go to Him, and because He loves me, you know what He said? He says, well, I can give you freely all things. He said, if your Father loves you, well, don't you think I can do that? And all He's waiting is to hear from you. I wonder what would happen if we got God involved in our life again through prayer. I mentioned last week, I also wonder what would happen if we'd start actually praying for lost people in such a manner, in a way that we believe that God can do something about it. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the time that we've got to visit prayer a little bit. I pray that You would help us. And now we have an opportunity where we're all going to pray here in just a minute. And Lord, I pray that You'd help this to stick in our heart. So many times we've let this go. To be honest with You, life is so short. And we can make such a mess out of it. That we ought to involve You on a minute-by-minute basis, not a day-by-day basis. Lord, we've got access to the throne of grace because of what You did on Calvary. Lord, I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to stand in line. I can just simply cry out to You, but because I belong to You and I'm Your child, You're going to hear me. And Lord, I just want to thank You for that. I want to thank You for loving me and loving my family and caring about my kids because I care about them and my family, Lord. But I do not bring them to You like I should. I don't spend the time that I ought to in prayer. Lord, our marriages are suffering. Our kids are making wrong decisions. Lord, the church is weak, and it's because we're not utilizing prayer like we ought to. God, I pray everybody in this room talks more to You this week than they did last week. Lord, let it be actually a sweet hour of prayer and just a few seconds that we grab here and there. May there be some content and some real time spent with You this week because we believe it does matter and it makes a difference. Father, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved this morning, may I pray that the sweetest prayer that they'll ever pray be prayed this morning and that they would trust You as their Savior. We ask this in Your precious name. If you'd stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And obviously, in just a minute, the reason why we even have an altar and how